Let us start from a synthetic list of remarks. For the man of power. We have seen during the proof of convergence that there is depends on this ratio between the absolute value of the ratio between lambda sub 2 and lambda sub 1. The possibility of over or under flow phenomena recommends the use of normalization. For the moment, we have seen only the case of the norm or the maximum, the infinite norm. We have also said that case when we have R, not only one, R dominant eigenvalues, or in other words, the dominant eigenvalue has multiplicity R, this is not a problem. The case is not a problem. We can add this. This must be said. Another situation that we have already analyzed: the case when the coefficient that we have called alpha sub 1 is 0. Also, this is not a problem because it has probability 0. As 0 probability, if we start from a random initial vector, but also if we pick some special case, an initial vector for which we have this coefficient equal to 0, even in that case, we have said that there are rounding errors, so we can say that anyway, in this case, the rounding errors induce convergence after a suitable number of some iterations. Probably it will be a slow convergence. The last remark. Refers to all the other cases when some of the assumptions that we have invoked for convergence is not verified. Which are these cases? When A is not diagonalizable, and when there are several distinct dominant eigenvalues, I mean in this case lambda sub 1 and lambda sub 2 equal in modulus, but they have distinct values. This is the case of a pair of complex conjugate dominant eigenvalues, which is frequent, which is very frequent for real matrices. Well, also in these cases that look critical, also in this case the method can be modified. We will not see how, but the method can be modified in such a way so that convergence occurs. So we have substantially always convergence, possibly slow convergence, to the dominant eigenvalue of the matrix. Another aspect of interest, which is connected with the rate of convergence. Well, if A is normal, the method can be modified so that the rate becomes the square of the standard rate. So we have a faster convergence. The modifications of the method I describe it here. Instead of considering the constant beta sub k, the normalizing constants beta sub k that we have considered in the normalized version, let us consider the behavior of the sequence of these numbers. Instead of beta, sigma sub k, they are not the single values, defined as Mm. Assuming this must be said before, assuming the normalization in a Euclidean norm, the normalization norm 2. I can choose any norm. If I choose norm 2 instead, I repeat this, instead of considering the constants beta, we consider these numbers, the sequence of these numbers, that can be rewritten as by the definition of the generic step, this vector, the vector u, is a by the previous normalized vector t sub k, and for reasons connected with the successive expansions, we divide by the number 1, that is that scalar product, which is the square of the Euclidean norm. Remember, we are normalizing using the two norms, so this scalar product makes 1. Why this? Because we see, also recalling that T sub k is the power of a, which is called k, by T sub 0, normalized by some constant that we have called last time gamma sub k. So all this can be written as this T is the conjugate, so we have the conjugate of gamma is included in the operator H, so I write it not here, by A. Here we have again and another factor A in the middle. So, and analogously, at the denominator, we have simply the modulus. One of the modulus of gamma sub k, and okay, I have written all the factors. The constant, gamma k disappears. And if we write T sub 0 as a linear combination of the, as usual, of the eigenvectors x sub I, and we expand over this, we can obtain the following expression which says us that the rate of convergence is squared. Why? Because all this is also expressible as let me add an intermediate expansion, which is sum and there a similar sum where since we have an additive factor A and we have instead of exponent k, exponent k plus 1 and something which is similar at the denominator, two sums, the same sum. And here, where the assumption that A is normal is used here because when you expand all products of all this sum, every time you have product, the scalar products of eigenvectors, since A is normal, we know that they can be chosen as orthonormal. You remember that this property is characterizing for normal matrices. Normal matrices are all the matrices that can be diagonalized by unitary transformations. So the vectors of A form an orthonormal basis. This means that these products make one if I is equal to J. Zero, otherwise. The result is that two brackets there, all these can be written putting as a factor the dominant eigenvalue as the fraction, the numerator is alpha sub 1, absolute value squared, and followed by the sum from 2, from the value 2 for the index I, up to n of terms made in this way. Also, at the denominator, you have again the modulus, the absolute value of alpha sub 1 squared, plus the sum of the same kind where you don't have this extra factor. The important fact that leads us to convergence is that this sum converges to zero. Also, this sum converges to zero. And the rate of convergence is squared due to the presence of this factor 2. So the reason is that we have considered, I write it again, essentially sigma, which was defined or as we have written as soon as possible in this way. This quantity this is a quadratic form also if A is not Hermitian, divide by the square of the two norm same vector has a name since it is a quantity which appears frequently in numerical linear algebra and is called Rayleigh. I don't remember if you've
written
here there is a Y. Rayleigh quotient. Quotient di Rayleigh quotient. It has also other properties. The reason is that we consider a quadratic quantity, so it is not so strange that we have a rate of convergence which is the square of the standard rate converges. This is a useful property in the case that we have normal matrices and we normalize with the norm 2, Euclidean norm. A negative observation regarding this method is that we approximate only the dominant eigenvalue. In many problems, the second eigenvalue has relevance. In other problems, the smallest eigenvalue is the object of interest. So, if we be useful to modify to find a version, modified version of the method, allowing us to approximate the smallest eigenvalue or eventually intermediate eigenvalues. Let us start from the smallest of the mean in modulus. Same assumptions. Except the ordering, the assumption regarding the ordering of the eigenvalues, which we modified in this way. We are interested in the smallest we require that the smallest has the modulus is strictly smaller than the preceding in modulus. I think this must be a strict inequality. These are, as usual, the eigenvalues of A. The simple idea is to pass to the inverse another hypothesis that the matrix is invertible, since we know that the eigenvalues of the inverse matrix are the inverses of the eigenvalues of the ISU. We have now the inverse of the last eigenvalue. We consider the absolute value. This inequality becomes this. I put the absolute value only at the denominator. The inverse of the first eigenvalue will be the smallest eigenvalue of the inverse. So the idea, we use the other assumptions are the same as before. We think to apply the power iteration method to the inverse of A. So we have as standard iteration step, instead of the product of A by the previous vector, the product of the inverse of A. Generic step will be so the new vector U, we use some normalized version. The new U vector will be the inverse of A multiplied by the previous normalized vector. Then we perform normalization and so on. Immediate answer that one one imagine to compute, imagines to compute, to have to compute the inverse of A. But as we have seen in other situations, in other cases, we transform this product in a linear system problem. We multiply both the sides of this equation by A and find this. This is a linear system. But the solution of linear system has a cubic cost. This is not so good, but we can factorize A as LU or as QR in advance, once for all. This effectively has a cubic cost, but only one time, and then at each step we know already, say, L and U, and the solution of the system written this way as a cost which is quadratic, so the cost for per iteration also in this version, this variant of the power method, is comparable with the cost per iteration of the standard method. In the standard method, we multiply A by T sub K. In this case, we solve the system knowing in advance the L U factorization, and we have again a quadratic cost. So this is a reasonable cost, especially if A is sparse in the cases when, if A is sparse, also L and U are sparse matrices, and this is a frequent case. Well, so in this way, and this variant is called inverse power method. Method of the potenza inverse. Inverse power method. It is quite simple as the standard method. Another modification which has the aim to approximate an intermediate eigenvalue. So, if we are interested to approximate an eigenvalue which is not the dominant, not the smallest in models, let me use the same index that you find here, the index J. The strictness of these inequalities, I think they may be weak inequalities. So, yeah. All weak inequalities for the moment. This is one of the two inequalities. I think it must be, it will be strict, and that's the leader. This is the we call it eigenvalue of interest. In any position J, the right index is J, the eigenvalue of interest. And in this case, we consider the inverse not of A, but of a matrix of the form A minus moved by the identity matrix, who is mu? Who is a constant such that its distance, in this sense, from the eigenvalue of interest is strictly, this must be strict, is strictly smaller than the distance of mu from any other eigenvalue. So I see now that these two inequalities must be strict. Otherwise, In some cases, this inequality would be an inequality. For E, different from J, why this? Because the idea is to apply the power method, the inverse power method to this matrix, so the power method to this inverse, and using the fact that the eigenvalues of this matrix, you know that they are the inverses of number of the form lambda, eigenvalue of A, minus more. And due to this assumption, since this distance becomes the minimum over all the distances for I equal to j, this eigenvalue will become the dominant in the usual sense, the dominant eigenvalue of let us call this matrix in some way of z. So, under the same, the usual assumption, the variability alpha sub 1 different from 3 and so on, we will have convergence to the power method. Will converge to this number for I equal to J. Call this number eta, then I will compute this eigenvalue as, which is the right formula, lambda j one over eta plus mu. So it is clearly mandatory to know a good approximation of the a good approximation mu of the eigenvalue of interest. This last variant, which is the, I can say, the most general version of the power iteration method, because it allows the convergence to any eigenvalue, and the accuracy of this approximation, the accuracy of the approximation mu of lambda sub j improves the rate of convergence. And a last the last problem, which is connected with the use of these are also other methods for the approximation of eigenvalues. I'm going to say now, can also be seen as variant, another version, a modified version of the modified use, I think I can say, of the power method. The answer is the question is after approximating the dominant eigenvalue and one of its eigenvectors. How can one approximate the next eigenvector? Now we assume that also in this position there is a strictly inequality, because we will apply the power method to a submatrix which has dominant eigenvalues, has dominant eigenvalue for lambda sub 2. Well, I can do it this way. If I have, it must be clear that together with the dominant eigenvalue, the power method gives me also an eigenvector. This, suppose, as usual, we have to use the normalized version. When I stop, beta approximates lambda 1. And the corresponding vector t approximates the eigenvector x sub 1 normalized by some some of its entries, which index is m. The index m is from a suitable step on the index of the maximum modulus entry of u. So this is to say, to remark, that we have also an eigenvector. So this is true, lambda sub 1 and one of its eigenvectors. Call it again x sub 1. Suppose, let's assume that this eigenvector is normalized with respect to the two norm, also if we have applied the power method using the infinite norm. This is not a problem. I find some eigenvector, I normalize again with respect to this norm. Then consider the matrix P, the household matrix P, which transforms this vector into this is possible. Why? Because Here we have the two norm of this vector and of this vector. This vector has been normalized, so we have here the value 1. Then consider the matrix P to the H. P to the H, in the case of our solder matrices, you know that P to the H is equal to P. P to the H divided by P, which is a square matrix, with the following strong property. The first column, the first partition, this matrix in this way. The first column, if you multiply the matrix transformed by, again, by multiply this matrix by E sub 1, you find on the first column, I say, this matrix, the first column, all the matrix P multiplied by E sub 1 is X. And we have A by X. X is eigenvector. So we have X sub 1. Eigenvector of lambda sub 1, P to the H by X is again the first column of the identity matrix. All these to understand that in this position there is the first eigenvalue, here is 0, and here and here there are some numbers that I call row vector A to the H. Here is the square submatrix, which I call A sub 1. So, our method, lambda sub 1, an eigenvector, the transformation to this form, which I remember has a quadratic cost. Now I apply the power method to this submatrix. So the next step is to apply the power method to A sub 1. Which results I will find? The dominant eigenvector of this matrix, which will be lambda sub 2, and an eigenvector relative to lambda sub 2. I call it y sub 1 or sub 2, sub 2. This means A by y sub 2, a sub 1 by y sub 2 equal to lambda sub 2 by y sub 2. I could be interested in knowing, computing an eigenvector of A relative to lambda sub 2. This is an eigenvector of A sub 1, so it's long only and minus 1. How can I compute an eigenvector of A relative to lambda sub 2? Also, this is not a problem. It is sufficient to expand. So the last thing I want to obtain. So how to x sub 2 such that a by x sub 2 is equal to etc. so on from y sub 2. The choice can be over vectors of the form p to the h, that is the same thing as p, this is the candidate as I consider vector, like the vector y sub 2. Here I put a number. Which number? I don't know, but I will find soon. A number that I call theta, such that this matrix by this vector, which is long n, will be an eigenvector for A. This means that if I multiply A by this vector, say x2, I want to find lambda 2 by x sub 2. I expand this and I have a p theta y sub 2. This is the same thing as A by P, because it is emission. A by P is equal to P by this matrix I write here. P by is that right? And by this vector. Multiply this matrix, here is zero, this matrix by this, you have P theta, which is unknown for now, lambda theta by lambda sub 1 plus A to H, this is a scalar product, this vector by this vector. The second row is 0 by theta. A sub 1, sorry, by y sub 2. But we have last step in this expression. All these are numbers. This is lambda 2 by y sub 2, since y sub 2 is a vector. We put in evidence. I have. Yeah, I have that one. Okay, I put as a factor lambda 2 at left, and I have here theta lambda 1 over lambda 2 plus this product. And here I have simply the final step. I hope. I want that all this is equal to lambda 2 by the candidate as eigenvector, which is p to the h or p multiplied by theta y sub t. We have finished almost. This is okay. All this is true if theta is such that, remember that theta is the unknown number, such that this number is equal to this. So you have a simple linear relation which will give us the right value of theta, I mean theta must be equal to theta k you multiply by lambda 2 sub 2 theta lambda 2 minus lambda 1. This quantity is non-zero quantity since the two eigenvalues are distinct, equal to this scalar product which we already know the answer. So for theta the formula for theta is by so we have also computed an approximation for the, an eigenvector x by 2. This technique is called deflation. Deflation technique, deflazione, la matrice viene sgonfiata. No? We start from A and reduced matrix A sub 1. It can be applied, as I told before, also to other methods. I've forgotten to say you the name of the general version of the power iteration method for intermediate, I mean, vectors, eigenvector, eigenvalues. The name is Wieland method. That is, more clearly, the power method, the inverse power method for any eigenvector, also in the mean. We stop here for the first part of the lesson. The lesson, the second part will be shorter. We will give only some hints about the treatment of the eigenvalues for three diagonal matrices. Gli ottovalori per le matrici diagonali sono un caso molto particolare. Prendiamoci pure 10 minuti come al solito.